Start with a couple of questions this morning. Have you in your life as a Christian attempted to share that gospel that Gary just read about with someone? If I ask for a show of hands in the affirmative of that answer this morning, how many of you would be embarrassed and could not raise your hand? Because you have not attempted to share the gospel with anybody in your Christian life. Next question is, have you brought someone to Christ? Those of you that have shared the gospel with folks, have you actually brought someone to the Lord through your efforts? Again, in a show of hands. Some would be embarrassed. But see, that's not anything to be embarrassed about. If you've shared the gospel with someone and you didn't bring them to Christ, that's not your job, actually bringing them to Christ. Your job is sharing the gospel. The Lord will give the increase in a good heart. Have you invited someone last week, last month, or this last year to come to worship services with you or to Bible class with you? Many of you hadn't even come to Bible class in years, so I know you didn't ask them that. But have you invited someone to services with you in this last year or sometime in your Christian life? You've heard the saying, someone being scared to death. You might have even used other things, scared me to death. You might have even said that before. I don't want to scare you to death this morning. I want to scare you to life. It's a little different. If I can, in this lesson, scare you to life and good works, that'd probably be better than scaring you to death, because some of you are not ready to die yet. You're not prepared for that yet. I pray we all would be prepared for that if the Lord were to come back tomorrow. I pray we'd all be prepared, but I'm afraid that some of us would not. Because you see, if you go back and you look at Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20, those things we call the Grand Commission or Great Commission, that's just as viable and live today as it was the day it was first given to the apostles of Christ. It's meant for you and I to do the work of the Lord. If we don't share the gospel with someone, who will? Satan would love for us to sit back and not do our job. He grins when people don't share the gospel, especially when they have an opportunity and don't walk through that door. But again, the lesson this morning is not so much to scare you into death as to scare you into life, to life and good works. And it may not work for some. I hope it does, though. This morning we're going to take a look at something that the Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 5 at verse 12. If you'll go there with me. Because I believe this has just as important a meaning in our lesson this morning as any other verse we could use at this point. In the Hebrew letter chapter 5 at verse 12, and this is a personal note that the Hebrew writer wrote to a general consensus of the Hebrew population who at that time had become Christians. He didn't write it to a certain individual as Paul wrote a couple of his letters. John wrote a couple of his letters to certain people. This was written to the broad scope of Hebrew Christians that received the letter. For by this time, you ought to be teachers. But you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. He goes on to say that everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, and he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, in other words, mature, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I just want us to look at the first part of verse 12. By this time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again. The only reason that happens is because we don't learn what we're taught. These folks had been taught the gospel. They had been obedient to the gospel. They had been responsive positively to the gospel. But yet, they weren't sharing or teaching others. Now, I'm not sure in their case just why that is. But I feel in our case, in modern day, it's just a little bit too hard for us to want to share the gospel with folks because they really don't want to hear it, some of them. Those of you that have attempted, our Sojourner brethren, and others who have attempted to share the gospel with folks in the past know that it's sometimes hard to talk to someone about the church or about Jesus or about the kingdom or about the gospel. Folks don't want to hear it. And the ones who have already heard it and responded in some manner to it are pretty comfortable where they are right now, and they don't need any other encouragement about the church or the gospel or the kingdom. The Institute for American Church Growth some time back asked over 10,000 people this following question: what was the responsible reason for your coming to Christ and the church? And the answers are recorded in their report. 3% of 10,000 people said, "I had a special need." In other words, somebody contacted that congregation or that church and had a need, food, gas, electric bill, something, a personal need, a special need. And through that, they came to know folks in the church, and they gained some help, and they came to the Lord that way. 3% of 10,000 folks. That's not a whole lot, but that's 3%. Another 3% said, "I just walked in." They just visited on the spur of the moment one day, or just chose a congregation to go to, and they visited and ended up obeying the gospel. 6% said, "I like the preacher." I'm a little ashamed it's only 6%. Some preachers are just not very likable, I guess. I don't know. 1% said, "I just visited there." 5% said that they liked the Bible classes. 0.5% said, "I attended a gospel meeting." That's not very good based on what we're fixing to do. We're about to have a lectureship, a gospel meeting, and if the house is full on four nights that week and Sunday, if the house is full and this is consistent, 0.5% might respond and become members of the church during that particular week. That's not a lot. But it's some. 3% said, "I like the programs there, the various programs that were in place at that particular place." 79% of 10,000 people, 7,900 people said, "A friend or relative invited me." That's the point. So we learn from that type of survey. I mean, and I don't know how old the survey is. I don't know if it were conducted today, if it'd be the same ratio or not. I assume it'd be close. But we learn from that if the church is going to grow, who's going to be responsible for that growth? The church. It won't be Satan. It won't be the world. It won't be anybody else you know that's not a member of the body of Christ. If the body of Christ is going to grow, it's going to be the fault of and the responsibility and the direct influence of the body of Christ. I don't know about you, but that just makes good sense. A friend or relative invited me. That's the reason I asked the question. How many of you invited friends or relatives to come to worship services recent past? And if they came, did you follow up? Sometimes we don't. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Without the gospel, there is no salvation." Without people knowing the gospel, they have no opportunity for salvation. If your friends and loved ones don't know what the gospel is, if they've never read or been taught 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4 that Gary read a minute ago, if they've never been taught those verses or read to those verses, they may have no clue what the gospel is, because there's a lot of folks out there that will teach a gospel that maybe Paul alluded to in Galatians, a different gospel, a perverted gospel, because there's lots of gospels out there, but it's not the gospel. In fact, Paul alluded to a perverted gospel. He said, in fact, it's not even a gospel, because gospel in the Greek language means good news. And if you're taught the wrong gospel or a different or perverted gospel, it's not the good news that Jesus brought. I think all these are fair questions. I think they need our response to those fair questions on a personal level. Because if you've not, let me tell you this, if you've not invited someone, shared the gospel with someone, spoke to someone about the gospel, the church, the Lord, the kingdom, and if you've not brought anyone to Christ, how can we get to heaven? Because that's a command. That's not a suggestion. I think it'd be nice if you invited someone to church. I think it'd be nice if you spoke the gospel to someone. It doesn't say that. It says, go and do. I know that was given to the apostles. But there's a lot of other things in this New Testament that was given to other people that we claim on ourselves too. The Lord's Supper on Sunday morning was given to the congregation of the first century. If we're going to be like that, we do the same thing. If we're going to be like the Christians of the first century who followed Christ and who followed Paul and his teachings of Christ thereafter, if we're going to emulate them, we have to, must, share the gospel. It's just a have to. It's our responsibility. It's our job. It's our duty. And if we're not doing it, how can we hope to cross the gates of glory without taking somebody with us? Or at least making the attempts. You don't have to convert someone. In fact, you don't convert anybody. God's word converts us all. But we have to make the attempt at it. Come judgment, and the Lord says, why did you not share with so-and-so what you knew? How do we defend that? Don't we need to worry about defending that now instead of later? Because now we can make preparation. Now we can alter where we are. If you couldn't have raised your hand this morning when I asked you how many have shared the gospel with somebody in the last week, month, or a year, if you couldn't raise your hand honestly to that, you have the opportunity to fix that. But it's up to you. I can't force you. Wouldn't begin to force you. Because just like conversion, if you force someone to become a Christian, you've defeated the whole purpose. Christianity is a heart thing. If my heart's not right, then don't force me. So it's not that we force. It's just that we encourage, we urge, we exhort, and we teach. Now, if you have not shared the gospel or invited someone or talked to many folks about the congregation or about the church or about the Lord or the gospel, it's because of probably one thing. You feel like it's way too hard. So I'm going to give you some ideas this morning for the rest of the lesson about how you can make it easier on yourself, how you can increase your opportunity to be able to share the gospel, and how you can make it a little bit easier to do that. It won't take a lot of time, but just to give you a couple of ideas, the first one being make a list. If you know someone who you love, you care about, you're associated with, not a Christian, if you know someone who fits any four of those characteristics, put them on a list, because what you're making is not a list of names, but a list of souls. And get that thinking. These are not names. Names don't mean a whole lot. Not that there's not something in a name. Names are just in our mind. It's a list of names. But if you've put down a list of souls, that's a different thought. That's a different mindset. You list a number of souls and you're worried about those souls instead of those names, you'll worry more. Because a soul is eternal. A name here, I don't know what I'm going to be called in heaven, do you? You know what your name's going to be in heaven? Might be Bob. Your name's Jim here. I don't know. Your name may not last forever, but your soul, the Bible teaches us, is eternal. So write that list of souls on that piece of paper and keep it to about five or eight. Because if you get too many, you lose your focus. And I'm telling you this works because it's a thing that's done in all manner and walks of life. You know, the salespeople, they call it a prospect list. Who can I prospect? Who's a good prospect for this car or this particular thing or this television or this thing? Well, in your list, on your list, what souls that you know are good prospects to share the gospel with? That means that they're not a Christian. It means that they don't have some already affiliation, because you want to target mainly those who are unchurched. And the reason I say that is those who are already churched, if they belong to a denomination or another congregation somewhere, they're comfortable. It's a lot harder to shake them off their comfort zone than it is to convince somebody they're lost. Because those who are already churched don't believe that they're lost, no more than you do. Keep it to those, or focus on those who are not affiliated or unchurched. First of all, primary list. And keep it again, like I said, to five to eight folks so you don't get too overwhelmed with it. And that's your focus group. That's your prospect list. That's your to-do list of souls that you care about, that you love, that are not Christian. Because if you care about them and you love them, pretty soon they ought to be Christians if there's a hope there at all. If there's a tender and sincere and gentle heart, they ought to be Christians. Not because of you, but because of the gospel, the good news, and God's gift. So you make the list. Keep that list where you can see it every day, because if you make the list and put it in a drawer, it doesn't do you any good. If you make the list and put it in your Bible, that's the second worst place to put it, because most of you don't even pick your Bible up during the week. You'll never see that list, and you know I'm telling you the truth. Don't put it in your Bible, unless you take your Bible with you everywhere you go, and some of you do. Put it where you can see it, be reminded, and focus on it. Be like the man prayed, Lord, lead me to one soul today. Just lead me to one soul today. And if you pray that every day, I promise you, if you're sincere, the Lord will find you a soul to lead you to, because he knows where they are. He knows where you're going to go. Pray for that list of souls. Don't just make the list and put it down or keep it, but pray for those people. Pray that they, number one, will have a willing heart to hear the gospel. Pray that God will help you to open up an opportunity to share the gospel with them, and that they'll be willing to receive it. Pray for their sincere heart, for their open ears. And pray for your wisdom to know when the opportunity is presented and to be able to walk through that door of opportunity and to have the right words to say. And remember in all that, it's according to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7, it is God who gives the increase. He said in verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We don't convert folks. We don't convert souls. The gospel does. That seed is planted. Just like any time you plant a seed, it will grow in good soil, but not in bad soil. Seed will grow in a good, sincere heart. It won't grow in a bad, unsincere heart. You can't control the heart. You just plant the seed. Let God give the increase. That list that you're working on, invite them to services. Invite them time and again until they tell you to leave me alone. You keep inviting them. Because you don't know when the day's going to come where something has happened in their life that took place that they're just so fretful, worried about, that maybe they'll think that coming to worship services might help it. Maybe they lost someone dear. They need the Lord, and they don't know how to reach out to him. Maybe something they'll hear or sing in service will help that. You don't know those things. Keep inviting them. Invite them to Bible class. Come to Bible class yourself and invite them to come with you. They'll have an opportunity to be presented with the truth of God's word. They'll have an opportunity to experience some loving hearts with the people that you worship with. And that's another important thing, is showing the love. If you show somebody you care and you show the love, they're a lot easier to believe the love of God when they see it exhibited in folks who call themselves Christians. Doing those things just helps prepare their hearts. It helps to open up those hearts. When they see it, they hear it, they understand it's real, they respond to it. Give them an opportunity to be taught. If you brought someone to worship on a particular day, a particular Sunday or Wednesday night Bible class or Bible reading group on Thursday night, and they didn't hear the gospel, you need to still give them an opportunity to hear the gospel. There's any number of ways to do that. You can suggest that you have a Bible study. You can suggest that they do their own Bible study with correspondence courses that you can provide for them through the church. There's any number of ways. Film strips. How many folks were converted through film strips for years and years and years? Video slides and so forth. Gospel tracts. Give them to them. Get the word to them. Better yet, sit down with them yourselves and just study God's word. If you're not sure how to study God's word, then maybe we ought to sit down together and have a learning experience on how to do that. And I think pretty soon we'll begin a class just like that. I'm not sure on what day or what time, or we'll just have to make sure we find a day or an evening when everybody's available that wants to be a part of that study class. And we'll study evangelism. We'll set our sights on making lists, and we'll set our sights on talking about problems and how hard it is to talk to such and such and experiences and situations, and we'll discuss those things, and we'll put our heads together. If we do that, then what can keep us from growing the church? Insincere hearts, yes, but God gives the increase. And if you're not sure how to go about that, then the first thing we need to do is teach how to go about that. Sojourners, y'all have classes regularly, don't you, when you're together on how to talk to folks about the gospel, listening labs, how to listen to people when they talk back to you, how to go about presenting the gospel. You can learn those things. It's just like learning to ride a bicycle or learning to do anything else. The experience of it usually comes after you've learned it. Then the more you do, the better you get. Let's get together and learn those things. If you do that, you'll become a better Christian. You'll become a better neighbor, a better family member, a better working associate, a better neighbor. Who doesn't want to be better at those things? We've all got neighbors. How many of you have a neighbor that you hadn't spoken to in a long time? I do. Got a neighbor you hadn't talked to in a long time? What better prospect to put on your list? What better soul to start with than someone that you know that you probably have been acquainted with for years, you just hadn't talked to them in a long time? And the first question they may want to ask you is, if this is so important, how come you waited so long to bring it up? That might be what I want to know. You just got to tell them, I wasn't sure how to approach you with it. I wasn't sure what your response would be, so I kind of held off of it. That's not threatening. That's not demeaning or demanding. It's just only honest. And they have to appreciate the honesty. They may tell you to go butt a stump. I'm not sure about your neighbors. I don't know who your neighbors are. But if they do, that's their business. But you make the effort. You make the effort. If we do these things, like I said, we'll grow the church. It may not grow fast, it may not grow in leaps and bounds, but it will grow. The kingdom borders will be expanded, more souls will be brought to Christ, more souls will have an opportunity to see the gates of glory at one point down the road. And we can get to heaven by taking somebody with us, or at least making the opportunity available to take folks with us. Because I don't think we'll get there otherwise. I hope that's encouraging to you. I hope you'll be interested in that type of class. I hope you'll be interested in those souls that you know that are unchurched, that are not saved. Even if you have a question about whether they're saved or not, put them on your list. List those souls and let's find out. And we'll work these things. I was just asked a couple days ago about how do you go about it? I'm not really sure how to go about talking to someone, but I have someone I want to talk to about this. Well, let's sit down and get that together. No better time than soon, and we'll do that. That's your lesson. I hope it's encouraging to you. If you're here this morning and not saved, or if you're not sure you're saved or not, the same thing applies to you as applies to anyone else. There's God's way to be saved, and then there's man's way to be saved. God's way to be saved is the only way to be saved. Anything I tell you is questionable. Anything I teach you is questionable unless it's perfectly in line with the Word of God. So for salvation purposes, when we talk with someone about the gospel and about salvation, we do it with this. We sit down and go through the book and show you the passages and what God says about salvation and how to attain it. That's only fair. Now, once you have that information, you can do with it as you please. That's only fair. As a Christian, if you're not so sure about your salvation, some have responded recently that maybe had questions about where they stand with God. This whole series has been a closer walk with God and how we can go about getting closer to Him as we go through this Christian life. If there's an issue with you this morning, I'm going to say again, like I do every Sunday morning, don't wait another day. Don't let this time or opportunity escape you. If there's an opportunity for you to get closer to God and we can help you with it, then you need to let us know. It's best I can tell you. The opportunity is yours now while we stand together and while we sing.